One of the most misunderstood subjects, not only in the world, but in many cases in the body of Christ, is who is the person of the Holy Spirit? Not only who is the Holy Spirit, what is his ministry, and what are the benefits of having him in your life? You know, it says here in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 6, it says this, it says, "And this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel," and this is the word of the Lord to you, to me, to all those who are members of the body of Christ, who have been filled with the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord for you right now. He says, "It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts." Why is he saying that? He's saying, it's not in your own abilities, it's not in your own strength, it's not in your own education, but it is by my Holy Spirit. What's by your Holy Spirit? You will be able to fulfill, accomplish, and succeed in the plans, will, and purposes of God on the earth as you represent the kingdom of God on the earth in Jesus' name. The promise of the Holy Spirit. We talked about how Jesus has said to the disciples that, you know, he will pray to the Father that the Father will send another comforter, which means Jesus himself was a comforter. Now, in John chapter 14, he talks about how, you know, the Holy Spirit, I'm reading out of verse number 26 in John 14, 26, it says the helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in Jesus' name, he will do what? He will teach you in all things and bring back to your remembrance all the things which God has said unto you. So part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, if this is your first time joining us and hearing the message about the Holy Spirit, the X factor, you will find out that part of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, his purpose is to teach you in all things and bring back to your remembrance all the things which God has said, Christ has said unto you. Now, when you say teach you in all things, do you mean he only teaches you about church things? No, he will even teach you about how to do math. He will teach you how to do anything and everything that you put your hands to that lines up with the word of God. Now, he's not going to teach you how to rob a bank. He's not going to teach you how to cheat on your taxes. He's not going to teach you how to cheat on your spouse. None of that. But why will he never teach you that? Because all those things go against the word of God. But when you operate according to the kingdom of God and you're doing things God's way, the Holy Spirit will help you to be able to do those things. I'll give you a prime example. What I used to practice as a clinician in prosthetics and orthotics, before I would ever go into a patient's room, I would always say, "Holy Spirit, how do I handle this situation?" Now, I've already been to university, I've already got the degree, I've already been through all the training, but all that stuff is information, and I have somewhat of understanding to it, but it's not really wisdom until I'm able to apply those things that I learned. And what he would do, he will show me or tell me how to approach that situation. And every single time that I followed his direction, it always turned out the best way for the patient. But anytime it did not turn out the best way for the patient, I realized I was leaning to my own reasoning, theories, arguments, and understanding that did not line up with what it is I should have done in that situation. And it's the same thing for you. Anytime you have the Holy Spirit trying to prompt you, as found in Romans chapter 8, 14, says, as many as are led by the Holy Spirit, they are the sons of God, which means he won't drag you alone. He will try to lead you. But if you make a decision, you're going to override him. He'll let you go ahead and do your own thing, even though he knows it's not the best thing for you. What God will not do, he will not violate your will. So first two things the Holy Spirit will do, the Holy Spirit, who is the helper, another way to remember that is chases, C-H-A-I-S-S. C, he is the comforter. H, he is your helper. He will help you. A, he's your advocate. He will help pray for you on your behalf. Intercessor, he will intercede for you on your behalf. He is your sustainer, which means he will be there to help, to strengthen you in situations and circumstances, but he's always the standby. Standby what? He's standing by, waiting for you to ask him how he can help you. He will never violate your will. He won't force himself in your life. You have to make a decision that you will allow him to lead you, to guide you, to teach you, and to bring back to your remembrance all the things which God has said unto you. Now, and I'm about to bust a bubble for a lot of religious people. When I grew up, people said, if you mess up, if you sin, or you violate God's word, then the Holy Spirit will leave you. Well, when I read the Bible, in accordance to John chapter 14, it said, I'm from 15 to 17, it talks about how Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Number two, he says, and I will pray to Father and he will give you another helper. Then he says, this helper Jesus is going to pray for, he says, he will abide with you forever. What's forever? What comes after forever? Nothing. How long is he going to be with you? Forever, which means he never leaves you. Who is this person who's going to be with you forever? One of his names is the Spirit of Truth. Now, the world cannot receive the Holy Spirit because it neither sees him, nor does it even know him. He says, but you know him. How will you know the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit will dwell in you and he will be in you. When does he come into you as a follower of Jesus? The very moment you accept Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit comes within you, and I like to call him the GPS, the God positioning system, because he will lead you, he will guide you, he will teach you, he will instruct you, he will bring back things back to your remembrance, and he'll also show you things to come. But you have to yield to him leading you. You have to yield to his direction. Now, it goes on to say this. Now, what do we find out? The first three things. One, Holy Spirit will never leave you. Two, one of the things of his ministry is to teach you in all things. Three, his other ministry is that he will bring back to your remembrance all the things in which Christ has said unto you. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, the Holy Spirit going to teach me all things. Why don't he teach me how to do this science? Well, the first thing I would ask you is, did you put the information on the inside of you? Did you begin to study on your own? See, it's kind of like you're expecting him to, it's not like a magic potion and somebody sprinkles angel dust on you and all of a sudden, woohoo, now you got it. No, you have to put the information in you and he has to have something to draw from. Same thing with the word of God. You have to put the word of God in you by what? Reading the word, studying the word, meditating on the word. Why do you meditate on the word? The scripture never says to memorize scripture. It says for us to meditate on the scripture. Why do you meditate? Because it says in Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, he says, this book of the law should not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate. Meditate means to ponder, to think about, to mutter to yourself over and over and over again. You will meditate day and night. So you do what? You can observe, or you can see yourself, or you can see the principle in the word that you are studying to be able to do what? See how you can apply it to your everyday life. And guess who's helping you when you're meditating the word? Newsflash, it's the Holy Spirit who's helping you to be able to understand how to apply the word and the principles that you're learning from the word. You're meditating on it, how to apply it to your everyday life. I was talking to a young man earlier today. I was talking about how God can give you one message, but and you're teaching the message and you're teaching principles, and there's 200 people who are hearing it, but 200 people are hearing the same message, but they're seeing different applications of it for whatever situation and circumstance that they have in their life at that time. And see, the thing about the Holy Spirit is he will not only show you things to come, he will not only bring things back to your remembrance, but he will show you how to apply the word to your situation, circumstance, or your everyday life, because it goes on to say in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, he says, meditate on the word day and night that you may observe to do And once you do, he says, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. What did it say that God had to do in order for you to be prosperous, or in order for you to have good success? He says, I've already given you my word. I've already given you the helper, the Holy Spirit, who will teach you in all things and bring back to your remembrance whatever Jesus has said unto you. Now we're going on. John chapter 16 says this. It says that the Holy Spirit, I'm in John chapter 6, I'm talking in 16. Verse number 7 talks about how, now Jesus says, I tell you the truth. He says, it's to your benefit or to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will do what? He will convict or convince the world about sin. You said, but I thought the sinners don't know him. They don't recognize him. But what they say is, something is telling me I should be doing something different. Something is telling me that I shouldn't go over to that house tonight. Something is telling me not to lie to my wife. Something is telling me not to cheat on my husband. Something is that something is really somebody, and that somebody is the Holy Spirit. Even though you don't recognize who he is, it doesn't change his ministry on how he is trying to convict or convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Why? Of sin. Because they do not believe in Jesus. And what he's trying to show them is, hey, there's a much better way than the way you're going. But guess what the Holy Spirit will not do? He will not override their will. He will show you the way to go. But if you make a decision, I'm going to go my own way, he will let you. Why? Because his whole thing is to convict you of sin about the fact that you do not believe in Jesus. That's what he's going to convince me about? Absolutely. You know, when you stand before the Father, and you will, all of us will. There's no such thing as anybody not standing before the, not giving an account to their life. Do you know what's going to happen on the day of judgment? You have two judgments. You have the judgment seat where people who are believers will stand before Jesus. And then you have the white throne judgment where people who don't believe in Jesus will stand before the Father. And this is what it looks like in accordance to Revelation chapter 12. You will stand before the Father, and he will look. There's going to be the book, and then there's the books. The book he's going to look in first is the book of life. And if he's going to look in that book of life and see if your name is there. Now, by default, because you're standing in front of him already, your name is not in the book of life. So then he's going to look at what? The books. The books talks about all the things you said and done while you was in this body. And guess what? The first question he's going to ask you, what did you do about Jesus? Why did you not receive the free gift I made available to you? Why did you not yield to the Holy Spirit, who was there to convince you that I'd already made a way out for you? All you had to do is receive it. And the second thing he's going to ask you is, why did you not do what I sent you to the earth to do? Those are the two questions he's going to ask you. Even, and you can't lie, because he already has it. He already knows. He might put them on a plasma screen and show you your action. Then he goes on to say, the Holy Spirit will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Sin, because they don't believe in Jesus. Of righteousness, because he goes to the Father and you will see him no more. And judgment, because the ruler of this world. Who's the ruler of this world? The devil. And what's going to happen? What is Jesus is judging the world of sin? He's judged the adversary, and he's already judged sin. He says sin was a violation of his word. He says of God's word. But Jesus said, I came to pay the sin debt so that you wouldn't have to. And all you have to do is receive the free gift I'm making available to you. Now, the adversary already knows sin has been judged, and he already know he's been found guilty, and he already knows what the end result's going to be. But he's trying to take down as many people as he can to join him. I heard somebody say once, we're going to have a hell and party. There's going to be a party in hell. I said, there's going to be a party, but I don't think you understand. You are the guest of honor. And if you had any idea how bad it would be, you'd run to the altar right now to receive Jesus Christ. And hell, ladies and gentlemen, is not even the final destination. Hell's like a waiting room. For some people who believe in purgatory, hell is like that in between. And you've already passed from this life, and you just waiting. And then when judgment comes, He's the people who went to hell, who never received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. After the judgment, you know what is going to happen? His judgment, the judgment before the Father, is to what level of torment? And then what happens then? It says death and hell and all those who are in it will be turned over into the lake of fire. It's not to scare you, but it's to prepare you. Jesus is coming very, very soon. Now, Jesus says, I still have so many things I want to say to you, but you cannot receive it. You can't bear it right now. He says, however, when the Spirit of truth, who's he talking about? The Holy Spirit. When he comes, what are the next two things he's going to do? Number one, he will guide you into all truth, which means he's not going to guide you into a lie. He's not going to guide you into deception. He's not going to guide you into any of those things. He will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And this is the part I want to give to you tonight. Why? It's not by might, not by power, but by the Holy Spirit. He will tell you things to come. What? He will, talking about the Holy Spirit, will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit will tell you things to come. Absolutely. He will tell you of things to come. Glory be to God. He said, I don't have to go to a psychic. A psychic is a knockoff version of the Holy Spirit. What's the psychic trying to do? Trying to channel things from a demonic spirit, a familiar spirit that's familiar with you, that will tell you about highlights in your life, but doesn't tell you about the fact that if you keep messing around with that sorcery, guess what's going to happen? You're going to open up the door to demonic oppression in your life. The soothsayers, what a psychic is in the Bible, if you look it up in Acts chapter 16, it's talking about a soothsayer. What's a soothsayer? Someone who's channeling energy from a demonic spirit. It's a demonic spirit. Tarot cards, all from a demonic spirit. Witch doctors, all demonic. Sorcerers, witches, warlocks, all demonic spirits. What do they do? Their whole goal. Can I tell you? Can I take a pause for a station identification? What does a demonic spirit? What does witchcraft do? Witchcraft's goal, or when it means to be witched, because the Bible talks about what it means to be witched. In fact, Paul asked the church at Galatians, he said to them, he says, how are you so easily bewitched? That word bewitched means you've been fascinated. You've been astonished. And what is the whole goal of witchcraft and sorcery and warlocks and tarot cards and all those things? What's the whole goal? To get you to turn away from the truth and follow after a lie. Yes, I said it. It's to get you to turn away from the truth and follow after a lie. But the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth, and what he would, and we take authority over that spirit of witchcraft, curses and spells that have been spoken over this region, spoken over this city, spoken over our youth and young adults, spoken over our families and loved ones, spoken over the body of Christ, spoken over the God. We curse, we cancel every spell, curse, trick, sorcery, plot, scheme that you had set up against the body of Christ, set up against our community, cities, nations. We bind you on the earth. We bind you on earth. Therefore, you are bound in the heaven, and you will cease in your maneuvers. You will desist in your operations. I command you to stop right now. I declare in the name of Jesus that the light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So darkness, you will stop. You will cease. You will go right now in Jesus' name, and you will trouble the people no more in the name of Jesus. Now, when a person gets bewitched, or when a person is bewitched, what happens is it causes them to take their eyes off the truth to follow a lie. Did you hear me? It is a lying spirit is a spirit of delusion. And what does delusion do? It causes confusion. And what used to be true is now seen as a lie. What used to be right is now considered wrong. What used to be said sweet is now sour. What used to say was good is now considered bad. What's the whole thing behind it? It's called deception, to deceive you. What does it do? It perverts the truth. What happened to Adam and Eve in the garden? They were bewitched. They were astonished because they only knew good. And because when the adversary came to them talking about you will be just like God, knowing good and evil, they thought evil was good because everything up to that point that they received from God was good. They didn't know any different. But see, you and I know the difference between good and evil, and you even know the difference even more so the more you get into the Word of God, because the Word of God, I shared this with this friend earlier today, the Word of God is the only book that while you're reading it, it reads you. It reads your motives. It reads your intents. It reads what you're thinking. It reads how you're feeling. It even tells you, or share with you, what your thoughts about when you hear that word and you respond, Lord, I ain't doing that. Why? Because that word is alive. But the Holy Spirit will show you and tell you of things to come. In fact, the Word of God says you can actually know the will of God. What? You can actually know the will of God. Well, it says this, and I'm going to read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, glory be to God. It says this, it says, Paul speaking, he says, I'm in a verse number 6. Well, he says, that my preaching and teaching would not be with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of spirit and power, that the faith of the people lie not in the wisdom of men, but in the power of the Most High God. Then Paul goes on to say this in verse 6. He says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Talking about when you're praying in an unknown tongue. He says, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory. He says this. He says, before I get to that, he says, he's warning you. He's telling you about the importance of knowing the Holy Spirit and what his ministry is. Because of this, he said to give you this warning. He says, in accordance to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17, he says, see then that you walk circumspectly. He says, see then that you walk circumspectly. What in the world does it mean to walk circumspect? Well, I'm so glad you asked that question, because I'm going to give you an answer to it. In fact, I'm going to read it from the Amplified, which clears it up a little bit better for you. It says this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. It says, look carefully then how you walk. Or look carefully how you live. In fact, he's telling you, live purposely, live worthily, and live accurately. He says, not as the unwise or witless, but as wise, sensible, intelligent people. What is he telling you? Live with intentions. Always be purposeful for why you live. Don't just get up and say, what's going to happen for today? I don't know, man. We'll just have to see. No, when you wake up, because you spend time meditating the Word of God, because you spend time in prayer, you can wake up and you can have a plan on how you're going to live for that day. Then he goes on to say this. He says, make the very most of the time, buying up each opportunity, because the days are evil. Now, Paul was writing this letter to the Ephesians church, but God says this is because there's so much witchcraft, so much sorcery, so much confusion, so much delusion. He says that word is just as formative today as it was when Paul penned it over thousands of years ago. Then it says, because you're living with intention, because you're making the most of every time and opportunity that you have, because the days are evil, he says, don't be vague and thoughtless and foolish. What did he say? Don't be vague, thoughtless, and foolish. He says, but I need you to understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. He says, live with intentions. Be purposeful. He says, make the most of every situation. Don't be vague about your thoughts. I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. I don't know. Don't be thoughtless. Just be or be foolish. He says, but I need you to understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is. And he says, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery. He says this, but be filled and stimulated by the Holy Spirit. Why do you need to be ever filled and stimulated by the Holy Spirit? Because the Holy Spirit's job is to lead and guide you into all truth, teach you in all things, bring back to your remembrance all the things in which God has said unto you, and show you things that are to come. That is his response. That is part of his ministry. So why is that important to me? How will I even know what the will of the Lord is? Because God says, I've already given you the CIA, the Central Intelligence Agent. And this is what he said. He says this in verse number 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. And many people have quoted it. He says, but as it is written, and they say, eyes have not seen, huh? And ears have not heard, huh? And nor have entered into the heart of man. Now, people preach that, but they forget the finishing. He says, heart of man, the things which God has prepared, not going to prepare, but he's already prepared for those who qualify. What's the qualifications? You have to love him. What does it mean to love God? To reverentially fear and honor and respect and tremble at his word, tremble at his presence, be so committed to God that whatever he tells you to do, you are willing to do it. Then he says, but God, he says, even though those things have not been revealed to you, God says, I have revealed them to you. How? Through the Holy Spirit. How's that? For the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. He says, for what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man, which is in him? He says, even so, no man knows the things of God except the Spirit of God, talking about the Holy Spirit. He says, and now we who are followers of Jesus, we who have accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, who have made a decision to surrender our lives to the Lord, he says, now we have received the Spirit, not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Holy Spirit who is from God, and that we might know. What? We might know the things which have been freely given to us by God. How do you know what the will of the Lord is? The Holy Spirit will tell you and show you what the will of the Lord is when you allow him to lead you, guide you, direct you, teach you, instruct you, and show you things which are to come. He's already in you. He's already there to help you. The Holy Spirit, you can know the will of God because the Holy Spirit is there to reveal to you the will of God for those who will live intentionally, for those who won't be vague, for those who will understand and firmly grasp what the will of the Lord is, because you have made a decision to allow the Holy Spirit to be your senior partner in life. And when you ask, what is God's will for my life today? The Holy Spirit will show you what God's will is for your life today. And he will lead you and guide you, but only to the extent to which you allow him to. You know, you can't even come to the Father except by the Holy Spirit. Remember, he convicts the world of sin because they don't believe in Jesus Christ. But you know what? He made it so simple for you to receive Jesus. In fact, he says this in Romans chapter 10, verses 8, 9, and 10. He says this. He says, the word of God is near you. It's in your heart. It's in your mouth. It's the word of faith which we preach. That if you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. That word saved means healed, set free. Free, delivered, made whole, and complete. He says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness. He says, but with your mouth, confession is made unto salvation. I'd like to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Or if you've already received him before, but you want to make a fresh start, you want to begin again. I want to give you an opportunity to do that. That simply means that, you know, you was backslidden or you was out of fellowship. And I want to give you an opportunity to come back and right relationship with him and fellowship with him today. It's as simple as this. Repeat this prayer to me. Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I believe Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. I believe he died for me on the cross and carried my sins for me. I believe he's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me now. I repent of sin. I receive your offer of forgiveness. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for giving me an opportunity to come back into right relationship with the Heavenly Father. I receive you right now. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and the Bible evidence of speaking in tongues. In Jesus' name, amen and glory to God. Well, man, I know you were blessed by that message. I know that, man, you're thinking, whoo, I'm born again. I'm fresh. I got the CIA on the inside of me, the Central Intelligence Agent. I got the GPS, the God Positioning System on the inside of me. What do I do next? Man, you got to get in the Word-based church that teaches you about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches about the kingdom of God. Man, I'm so thankful to have you join us today. Now, next week, everybody say next week. Next week, we're going to get into the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We've been talking about the promise of the Holy Spirit. We talked about what he's going to do, but we're going to get into the fact about what about the ministry? What about the purpose? What about the manifestations of the Holy Spirit? You don't want to miss next week. Until next week, have a great week. God bless you. Bye-bye.